much Christmas really in a secular context. And yet the theory is we go on celebrating Christmas, which we started celebrating just on Christmas Day, until we come out of Epiphany. But anyway, throughout our time of celebrating Christmas, I hope we base what we're thinking, what we're praying on the Bible, rather than the imagination of all the people that write songs and tell stories about Christmas. It's a selfish model, isn't it? And yet it is crucially important that we use our imaginations in serving God. It's really true that prayer begins in imagination. We cannot base our prayers just on the fact that so-and-so needs praying because nothing else works. We must use our imaginations to come close to God. That, of course, is what the people that wrote the words of the carols were doing. But little Lord Jesus, no cry he makes, says one. Tears and smiles, like us he knew, says another. Now, which is true? Did baby Jesus cry like a baby, normal? Or was he special in that kind of way? We know it, it's out of the way, are we? Anyone who got any evidence that Rudolph had a red nose? I don't know whether he did or not, do you? What I do know is that our imagination needs to be grounded in the world as it is. We can imagine ourselves in a world far away where nothing goes wrong. Some of us can. That's not the world we live in. It's not going to help us in living in the actual world. The dreams of the child who is our childhood pattern is always behaving perfectly. Not terribly useful to those of us that have ever tried to bring our children. They're quite behaving in that way, or whatever that they are. Dreams that we will live a happy life if we behave in the right way are simply not true, are they? But that's the challenge that's posed at Christmas. Are we living in a fairytale world that all is put by easily, or we're going to live in a real world? Just imagine that God is working. We find that in fact our imagination comes closer. God is real. In our rather cynical way of looking at things, it says, it just gets worse and worse. Now, the Christmas story is actually full of not such nice things. As some of you will recall Thomas preaching at midnight saying, and he's telling the story about the innkeeper who never got round to seeing Jesus. Now, he's a lot to say about that, and a lot that we can learn from. Because he made you up. It's no evidence at all in the biblical text. I don't know who else. But an innkeeper who had any feelings about him, didn't he? We don't know whether it was a grumpy old so-and-so just after the cash he might get out of even his father's family. Whether he was a kind, compassionate man doing his best. Perhaps he was just an absentee landlord. And they managed to sneak in the back anyway, I don't know. the wise men. Do they really want peace? Did it make sense to go to Herod to ask, where's the king? Oh no, we're not looking for you. We're looking for the real king. What chapters I thought. Don't ask him for trouble. But at least when prodded a bit by an angel, and we need to go back to their own country by another way. The Bible says that the wise men have tricked him. Well, we haven't tricked him, have they? If Herod had evil intentions, which concern only in his own heart, only in his own mind, they got worse. How do we dispose of the king? We can't identify where he is, what he's doing, what he belongs to. But how he proposes to become king. And after examining the evidence of the stars, did I tell you about the word of anything that we thought? It concludes that that child was just his brother 2 years old. Where had he been? No idea. But the massacre of the innocents, one of the wicked, famous, infamous, I should say, acts of history. And with no indication of how the people of Israel reacted to any of that, apart from the assertion they wept in the way that Rachel long before had wept. And of course, considering grandma weeping for that lamentation. So much of the imagination of St. Luke depends on reading the Old Testament. And God told him, this is what happened, what he was doing. Let's try and live in the real world, shall we? Rather than imagining it all will be well and you will have anything. Because that's not the world we live in. We do live in a world where people seek power. The question surely we ought to be asking is how we react to that power. And we didn't answer to that. Parts of the world. If we act just that, depending on who the ruler is, with others hitting the mark. The need for rule, the need for peace controlled by somebody who is in charge, against the picture of the ruler who's ruling for his own sake, not for the sake of the people. When we can be in a position to use the democratic institutions we have, or when we're reduced to doing what would appear to be wrong on the surface, certainly. We're prepared to resist, by force sometimes, what is tyranny rather than just rule. But I'll not be glad I don't have an answer to the man says. To a bit defending, isn't it? The way of democratic rule we have in this country. If I lived in China, or Burma, or even the United States, I'd find it more difficult. How did Jesus react? We had no option but to go away. Bide his time before coming back. And that, of course, is what human wisdom says you have to do. To actually leading to was Jesus being ready to come back and take revenge. But clearly it is not what Jesus did. He came to proclaim his kingdom, but not by force. Even when faced with the kind of force that Herod had used against him. There's a lesson there surely for us, as we rage sometimes against the injustices of the world. We will not always find fulfillment immediately, but we need to seek it according to the will of God. Thank you. from Plumbers Inn. Not the proper cottage, coming from a town like that. So this is all part of God's plan. But the unexpected comes in ways that actually produce a salvation which we found hard to imagine. The fact that we found it hard to imagine is very since we might imagine it, not trying to. What we need to do is to imagine it. Not what we can think of as best might happen, but imagine in our prayers the kingdom of God. Very easy to say the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Not exactly easy to pray it. You've been pursued out of your present home. Into a foreign country. And that's what happened to Jesus. That's what so easily happens to any one of us. We would be physical move from country to country, or from state to state, as we are in our lives. We use our imagination. We pray. Of all we do, and the glory of God who sent his Son.